1900 UTC, and that means it's time for That's News to Me. I'm your host, DJ Marcus. Let's see what's happening in the world today.
Oh boy! Hello, hello, hello! Welcome, welcome, one and all. It is July 22nd, 2021, and it is Thursday, 1900 UTC. Well, as close to it as we get with live News to Me shows, it is about 4 or 5 minutes after. We'll find out as soon as I get logged in. I'd encourage you, if you want to chat and participate while the show's going on, you log in too. Just SSH over to SDF. Then go ahead and launch com, C-O-M, and then just G for go to, and then do like me and type anon radio, all lowercase. And boom, you'll see a cool ASCII art banner, a listing of all the people in the room, and then if you press R, bam bam, you get to scroll back and see what's happening. Oh yeah. I'm even more inaccurate than Hello Kitty. That's beautiful. Hello Publius, Tobe, SMJ. F Fog. Oh, Marcus, no. What happened? What did I do? I'm so confused. Oh, because the music, I bet. And hey, Northern Lights, hello, hello. We are live and in person. It's happening. That intro is called Anime Intro. It showed up in the metadata. Anime Intro 198X Cupid Beats Remix from Cupid Beats. It's a Creative Commons license song. That's great. Thank you. Thank you. So today is great. It's beer day. I'm very relaxed. I figured out that I had hung my antenna. So I'm in an apartment and I have my ham radio. And my antenna's inside. And I had it hung off of a string in the middle of the window. But I found out, or realized, this antenna is way too low. And I was able to pin it to the ceiling. And it's about, I don't know, 2 feet taller, 2 feet higher up. And, whew, it's working a lot better. Or at least for reception. I haven't found anybody to check to talk to yet, so I'll have to make sure that transmit's good. But anyway, life is an adventure, and oh man, we've got plenty of ups and downs. So let's go ahead and get started the way we almost always start, and that's with
world news.
The world news. The Benin Bronzes are our top story, or the first story, I guess we should say. A dispute between Nigerian leaders could jeopardize plans for the return of some of Africa's most famous artifacts. The Benin Bronzes, which were looted during the colonial era, are now mainly in Western museums. The bronzes, which are thousands of metal sculptures and ivory carvings, were seized from West African Kingdom of Benin in what is today Edo State in southern Nigeria by British military in 1897. In Europe, their beauty and sophistication caused an instant sensation, and they were widely regarded as among... they were widely regarded as among Africa's greatest works. In recent years, European governments have come under pressure to atone for colonial-era crimes. Some have spoken of their desire to return looted artifacts. In April, the German government said it wanted to give back hundreds of bronzes, and several museums in the UK have made similar announcements. The return of the Benin Bronzes to Nigeria would mark an extraordinary moment in Africa's post-colonial history, and is a prospect that seems more likely now than at any time since 1897. But when the king, or Oba, of Benin, Uwari II, summoned all well-meaning people to the emergency meeting in the Edo capital, Benin City, earlier this month, it was not in celebration. Hundreds answered the Oba's call and assembled in his palace, dressed in handsome robes, singing his praises. Uwari II, the great, I'm going to put this in com because I am not sure if that sounds right. And, oh yeah, and good call. If anybody has heard from X1 or knows what's happening out that way, show up in com. Let the world know. We miss you, X1. All right. The group, the Legacy Restoration Trust, LRT, had the support of Edo State Governor Godwin Obaseki, and had planned to put the bronzes in the Edo Museum of Western African Art, or the EMOWAA. The Oba has made his position clear. The right and only legitimate destination for the bronzes would be a Benin Royal Museum, he said, sited within his palace grounds. He insisted that the bronzes had to come back to where they were taken from, and that he was the custodian of all the cultural heritage of the Benin Kingdom. The Oba's argument is compelling, but awkwardly, his son and designated heir, Crown Prince Ezelekai Uwari, attends the board meetings of the LRT he professes to know nothing about. So does Nigeria's National Commission for Museums and Monuments, representing the federal government. Governor Obaseki has convinced a celebrated architect, Sir David Ajayi, to design the new museum, bringing prestige and a wave of positive international publicity to the project. Although the Oba now warns anybody dealing with the LRT, they do so at their own risk and against the will of the people of the Benin Kingdom. You must worry, it's already too late. So, basically, there's disagreement of where these should go. So, it's going to be a bit of a challenge to see whether or not they can be returned or who they would be returned to. This is going to be an interesting story. I just wanted to get it out there because in a couple of months, whenever they actually get delivered, it'll be interesting. It'll be better to have that background. All right, so there's been a lot of assassination attempts, you know.
That's correct.
And Madagascar said Thursday it had foiled an attempt to assassinate President Andry Rajoelina and arrested six people, two of whom were French nationals. Several foreign and Madagascar nationals were arrested on Tuesday, July 20th, as part of an investigation into an attack on state security. Prosecutor Berthine Reza Fierveroni, Reza Fierveroni said in a statement. According to evidence in our possession, these individuals devised a plan to eliminate and neutralize various Madagascan figures, including the head of state, she said, giving no detail about the alleged operation. Public Security Minister Fanon Mezantsoa Rodalis Rander... Oh my gosh. I feel like this was made to torture me. I'm sorry, Security Minister. Public Security Minister Fano Mezantsoa Rodelis Randrianarison. Publius said, Malagasy people have long names, and then I ran across this name, and I agree. Anyway, the security minister said six arrests had been made, comprising a foreigner, two dual nationals, and three Madagascans. The police had informed about this affair for months. He told a news conference, they swooped to make simultaneous arrests in different locations and seized money and weapons. There are also official documents which prove their involvement, he said. The foreigner hid his harmful schemes behind his business activity. So, the two Frenchmen who were among those arrested on Tuesday, diplomatic sources told AFP, their wives are also in custody. The French Foreign Ministry confirmed it had been informed of their arrests, but gave no details. Named in Madagascar state media, they were both identified as retired military police officers. So, very interesting. The country is world-renowned for its unique wildlife and vanilla, but has a long history of coups and unrest since gaining independence from France in 1960. The announcement of the assassination plot comes after several months of turbulence and threats to journalists reporting on the country's coronavirus pandemic and a burgeoning famine in the south of the country. We talked about the famine not too long ago. That's very sad. Rajoelina made his mark in events management and media before bursting onto the political scene in 2007. Promoting a youthful, energetic image, he earned the nickname Disc Jockey, a reference to the parties he used to host in the capital of Antananarivo. After becoming the city's mayor, he used his own Viva Broadcasting channel to help generate a national following, putting himself forward as the leading opponent to Ravalomanana. In 2009, he came to power as leader and pushed through a constitutional change that, among other things, lowered the minimum age for presidential candidates from 40 to 35, thus making him eligible to bid for the job. So, very, very interesting. Madagascar is heavily dependent on foreign aid, and 9 out of 10 people live on less than $2 a day. country has been under virtual lockdown since COVID-19 hit last year, and that's why there's the famine. Whew, wow, that's heavy. Yep, you know
it. Get the news over with. I want to hear the music.
Don't worry. We got to talk about some heavy stuff, though, before we get into the music. Real quick, Rwanda is apparently on the list of people that have used the Israeli spy tech to tap phones. Rwanda has been linked to a series of wiretapped conversations of top Ugandan officials, according to a recent global reporting investigation. The Pegasus Project, published by the Organized Crime and Corruption Reporting Project, or OCCRP. The OCCRP issued a detailed report on Monday indicating how Rwanda wiretapped on various phone conversations of Uganda's top officials, including ex-Prime Minister Rukana Rugunda and former Foreign Affairs Minister Sam Kutesa. The report alleged that Israeli-made spyware was also used to monitor phone conversations of Director General of External Security Organizations Joseph Akwet. That's going on there. Guess what? We still haven't got to the deaths. I'm so happy. Usually, news to me is full of death. But today, we've managed to avoid a lot of death stories. So that's great. Don't worry.
Resistance is futile.
We'll get there. More than 200 migrants climbed a fence to enter Spanish enclave of Melilla. More than 200 migrants from sub-Saharan Africa managed on Thursday morning to cross the high fence marking the border between Melilla and Morocco and enter the Spanish enclave. Spanish authorities said it constitutes one of the largest arrivals in recent years. In total, more than 300 people tried to scale the triple metal fence with hooks shortly before 7 a.m., and 238 men managed to enter Spain. Footage released by local media Onda Cero purports to show some of the migrants cheering in the street after successfully entering the enclave. Three policemen were slightly injured, and the migrants were transferred to a residence center, while they'll remain in quarantine due to the health situation. This intrusion comes just 2 months after an unprecedented wave of migration in the other Spanish enclave in northern Morocco of Ceuta, which was overwhelmed in mid-May by the sudden arrival of more than 10,000 migrants, the vast majority of whom were Moroccan youths and adolescents. And we talked about that. So, yeah, that's happening. Oh, man, we got to get a song out there. It's already time. It's time to go. We got to get going. There is so much happening. Let's go ahead. I know, I feel like I play this band a lot, but, you know, that's just kind of what happens sometimes. I don't know what to tell you other than, such is life. This is going to be, come on, where are you? There you are. Curses! I don't have the song. I wanted to play a Bad Religion song for you. But that's out of the question. So you know what that means? That means that we're going to play Tool. This is, we're going to listen to most of this song. Are you ready? Like to hear it? Here it go. We'll be right back.
Anon Radio is your non-commercial, non-profit, member-supported underground radio station.
Powered by the SDF Public Access Unix System.
That's right. This is Anon Radio, powered by SDF. SDF needs you. So if you like the show, like SDF, be sure you go ahead and sign up. Join MetaARPA or something. It's a great benefit. I freaking dig it. So anyway, please do that, and please stick around. Just coming up in about 9 minutes or so, we got the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe. This is a super fun show. It's every single day, Sunday through Sunday, every single day of the week is the Dubious Goals Committee. Meets, 30 minutes, in and out, talk about some dudes, play with some synthesizers, get on with your day. Life is grand. You can also stick around. Yesterday on Tuesday, well, today's Thursday, man. Today's the week's flying by. Anyway, just go to anonradio.net. The schedule's there, or in comm, you can press the equal sign, and you'll see what's coming up. There's lots of shows definitely worth checking out. Okay, well, I was going to talk a little bit about the Olympics, but we're running out of time. So I want to talk about a few downers, because I don't know. I'm not sure, but I feel like people aren't taking this COVID-19 thing very seriously. Check this story out. What the U.S. government is calling the pandemic of the unvaccinated is playing out in painful ways as some realize too late that they wish they had had the shot, while others hold out even as they suffer in hospital amid a national surge of new COVID-19 infections, primarily caused by the Delta variant. At least 99% of those in the U.S. who died of coronavirus in the last 6 months had not been vaccinated, Dr. Rochelle Walensky, director of the Center for Disease Control and Prevention, has said. Meanwhile, vaccination rates have slowed down nationwide and are especially low in some of the more conservative southern states of the country, despite more than 610,000 people in the U.S. dying of the virus since the pandemic hit in early 2020. In places such as Alabama, only 33% of people who can receive the vaccine have been vaccinated as of July 20th. On Monday, a doctor in Birmingham, Alabama hospital, Brittany Cobia, said that all but one of her COVID patients at Grandview Medical Center didn't receive the vaccine, with the one who had expected to make a full recovery after receiving oxygen. Several others are dying. I'm admitting young, healthy people to the hospital with very serious COVID infections, wrote Cobia in a Facebook post. One of the last things they do before they're intubated is beg me for the vaccine. I hold their hand and I tell them I'm sorry, but it's too late. Referring to patients she'd had to put on a ventilator. And that, I think, should be like on billboards, and there should be videos of people crying and begging for their life as they're like put to sleep for the, you know, probably for the last time. Because, I don't know, people just don't seem to get it. Or they think there's some kind of ulterior motive. Anyway, the variant now makes up 83% of new cases in the U.S., and it's an increase up from 50% from the week of July 3rd. In Louisiana, only 36% of eligible people have been vaccinated. So, get your shot. Quit being a dummy. All right. Well, don't worry. It's not just old people and young people dying. It's also kids. More than 4 million U.S. children are infected with COVID since the start of the pandemic. A new AAP and Children's Hospital Association report has confirmed that more than 4 million children have contracted COVID-19 in the U.S. since the onset of the pandemic. Figures... isn't it suspicious? Figures up to July 15th show that 4.09 million children have been infected with the novel virus. Cases have been rising among children in recent months, according to the findings, with 23,500 cases among children in the week ending July 15th. However, hospital admission rates among children remain low, with 1.3% to 3.6% of children treated in hospital for the disease. Child deaths after contracting COVID are lower than adults across 43 states, and the mortality rates among kids account for up to 0.26% of those recorded. 8 states reported no child deaths at all as a result of the virus. So, severe illness due to COVID-19 is rare among children, the report stated. However, there's an urgent need to collect more data on longer-term impacts of the pandemic on children, including the way the virus may harm the long-term physical health, as well as emotional and mental health effects. So, I just wanted to mention that because a lot of people that I hear not into the believing the virus exists also don't think kids get it. So, anyway. Oh, well. Oh, well, you're going to die, or you'll get sick and be on a terrible, live a terrible, horrible life afterwards. I'm sorry. I don't make the rules. All right, well, let's just drink. Nah, let's change the subject. Let's go ahead over here and talk about something else. What?
Is it time for tech news?
That's right. I really want to talk about these vulnerabilities because I think they're pretty cool. This is coming to us from LWN.net. A local root hole in the Linux kernel called Sequoia was disclosed by Qolsys on July 20th. A full system compromise is possible until the kernel is patched or mitigations that may not be fully effective are applied. At its core, the vulnerability relies on a path through the kernel where 64-bit size T values are converted to signed integers, which effectively results in an overflow. The flaw was reported to Red Hat on June 9th, along with a local systemd denial-of-service vulnerability, leading to a kernel crash found at the same time. Systems with untrusted local users need updates for both problems applied as soon as they're available, out of an abundance of caution. Other systems likely should be updated as well. Down in the guts of the kernel's SEQ file interface, which is used for handling virtual files in the /proc and the like, buffers are needed to store each line of the file's contents to start a page of memory is allocated for the buffer. But if that's not sufficient, a new buffer that's twice the size of the old one is allocated. This is done using a size T, which is an unsized 64-bit quantity on a 64-bit processor, x86 64 architecture, that is large enough to hold the results. So the system wouldn't run out of memory long before the multiplication overflows. But that value, M size in the advisory, is passed to other functions that expect a signed 32-bit integer. And as we all know, a 64-bit integer is way bigger than a 32-bit integer. In particular, the exploit uses the output of proc self mount info to get a place in the kernel where that is the case. The attacker can create a directory hierarchy with a path link larger than 1 gigabyte, roughly 1 million nested directories, bind mount it to a user namespace, and then delete the directory. In the namespace, the attacker opens and reads mount info, which causes the string /deleted to be written outside of the sequence buffer, and then the sequence file interface creates a buffer that's 2 gigabytes in size. But down in the code that writes the string, that value gets interpreted as minus 2 gigabytes, which is used to calculate what to do, where to do the write. That is far outside of the buffer, of course, and so it overwrites memory at a known offset elsewhere in the vmalloc region. So cool. anyway, I just thought this was a really cool exploit and interesting component. There's a lot more. It's a lot longer, but we're going to run out of time. I also wanted to mention that comments pointed out that Rust, the Rust programming language, which they keep trying to move a lot of kernel stuff to, doesn't support this kind of conversion or implicit conversion that's in the bug. All right, well, that's all the time we got. Thanks so much for listening. It's been so much fun hanging out with you guys in comm. Please stick around for the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe.
Well, that sound means that our time's come to an end. Thanks for listening. I'll be back tomorrow and every weekday, Monday through Friday, before the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe at 1900 UTC. Talk to you then.
Ten!